Let's go fishing. Responsibly caught, sustainable fishing with a startup called Fresh Catch. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton brings back the co-founders of a sustainable fish delivery service and checks on how it's grown since their last visit. And that conversation is now.
Hello and welcome back. About a year ago, July 2017, we asked a two-person fishing startup to come in and tell their tale. Sustainable fishing principles with the seal of approval from the Monterey Bay Aquarium paired with a delivery service to your front door. Fresh fish on ice, labeled with the GPS coordinates of where it was caught and by whom. And it arrives in a cooler that Fresh Catch will lend you. Personally, I was captivated with the bootstrapping I saw, and the products are outstanding, and I am not in any way involved or compensated. So, we asked the two former UC Santa Cruz students to come back in and give us an update on Fresh Catch and the site tryfreshcatch.com.
And we tie in our other products that we have, like our Salt Point seaweed. We bring it to our events and our catered things. Our chef, Nico, he'll take the seaweed and he'll turn it into a delicious seaweed salad that's served on like a toasted nori piece.
TryFreshCatch.com talks with its fishing partners, sends a weekly email with the offerings of everybody, and customers opt in and just await a delivery. For links to Fresh Catch, please check the show notes for this week at KGOradio.com. Okay, let's get going.
Austin Klein, and I am the co-founder of Fresh Catch.
And my name is Jessica Ryan, and I am the other co-founder of Fresh Catch.
We had you guys in a year ago because I discovered your company almost by accident. I don't really remember how I discovered it. I just remembered I ordered a whole salmon for my birthday, and then I loved your model, asked you to come in. So let's recap kind of what we covered a little bit last year. Let us reintroduce Fresh Catch to the audience.
What we do is we take fish directly from fishermen. We focus on working with small, sustainable fishing vessels from Monterey all the way up to Fort Bragg. That's the location area that we work within. Mm-hmm. Everything that we deliver to our customers is fresh. We guarantee within 48 hours of being caught from the ocean.
Okay.
We'll tell you exactly who caught your fish, where it was caught, and we also provide helpful recipe instructions and tips on how to prepare your fish.
Now, that's the what. Tell us the how.
The how we get it done.
You get it done and how you get it to my door.
Oh, man. So there's definitely a lot that goes into each delivery, and they're all kind of different. So our rock crab, for example, is brought up to us from Santa Cruz by our fishermen. Other things like salmon, halibut, we have to go out to the docks and get. A lot of our halibut, we land in Alameda. Right now, we're landing king salmon in Fort Bragg and in Bodega Bay. So we'll be going up there on Friday, picking up a full tote of king salmon, and we'll have it gone by the next day.
Okay. So I didn't have to have a cooler. I didn't have to go out. You guys brought it to me, lent me a cooler overnight, and then you came back and got it the next day. And that's a convenience thing, too. We're going to talk about coolers, too, because that's part of your growth story over the past year as well. Let's go ahead and talk about that growth period in a macro way. Are you picking up customers? And if you are, what kind of customers are you adding?
We're picking up a lot of new customers, and that's really exciting for us. I think that the most exciting part is that we're picking up a really wide variety of people. I don't yet have that perfect Fresh Catch customer. It's people from all walks of life, from all over the place. We deliver to Marin, the East Bay, Peninsula, San Francisco. So it covers that whole area, and we get orders from, you know, business professionals, from small families, from college students, from people from every walk of life. I mean, Austin delivers to a BART station, you know, somebody who works down there almost every week. You know, it's just it's everybody who wants fresh fish, and I think it should be accessible to everybody, too.
Austin, let's talk about the marketing process, because last year, you guys had just built your website.
Yep.
You did it yourselves, right? I think if I remember correctly, you farmed it out. It didn't work out that way. You brought it back on board in-house, and you did it yourself. Have you upped your marketing, or have you had to in the past year in order to get more people on your email subscription list?
It's like a constant evolution for our website. Squarespace is what I use to build the website, and they've been incredibly helpful, and there's a great team of people there. So I've built a few more websites since we've talked, just for friends and for another seafood company, our photographer.
So you have a cottage industry. You have a spinoff business.
Austin
has a knack for it.
You're helping other people get web pages stood up. That's awesome.
Well, we got invited to another level of Squarespace where it's like a bunch of developers in there. So I've had access to a forum there with people that have been super helpful in getting things done.
Very cool.
Yeah.
We're in an election season, as you know, and I'm not going to diverge too far into politics at all, but it seems like every politician always says small businesses are the core of the American economy, small businesses. How have you guys been able to grow as a small business as far as, I don't know, maybe employees?
Honestly, it's a big challenge. That's nice that people think that, but working every day and doing this job, I'm amazed by all the small businesses that manage to make it, because there's so many hurdles that you have to jump over, the permits, you know, there's so many things that cost so much money. And if you don't have investments, it's really a bootstrapping thing where you're right. working really hard to make that work. As far as employees go, like we have to have somebody on payroll. Like that's a big hurdle.
Sure.
Because we're working in a warehouse, an environment that, you know, you have to have people under insurance and things like that.
Yeah, we've had to get workman's comp mm-hmm. and just figure that whole other side out of it. For us, when we were doing everything, when we're cutting the fish, when we're delivering it, it wasn't as much of an issue. But once we start bringing other people into the warehouse, even though they're our friends, it becomes complicated.
Now, Jesse, yeah. I remember you were at the Monterey Bay Aquarium mm-hmm. before this company started. And what can you tell me about partnerships that you've added since then, too, since you guys have started Fresh Catch?
So we're great partners with the Monterey Bay Aquarium. We do their Seafood Watch program. So they help be a third party to ensure that everything we're sourcing is sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, they do a lot of other great work where they're just supporting local fisheries and raising consumer awareness about what's sustainable and available locally for us. Outside of that, we've been working with some other really great local companies. In particular, I love working with Salt Point Seaweed. They're three mm-hmm. girls who work out of Oakland, and they go up to Salt Point, which is Mendocino area,
uh-huh.
and that's where they harvest wild seaweeds and kelps. They do it all sustainably. Outside of that, they have another project that they're working on to farm it locally,
mm-hmm.
which I think is very exciting. We also work with another company that's a seaweed pasta company. They're called Blue Evolution.
Cool.
They farm sustainable seaweed as well for their pastas, and it makes a really great nutritious alternative to our regular mac and cheese and things like that.
Right.
We also work with a great company out of Alaska called Barnacle. They do kelp pickles and salsas, which is amazing. Big Sur Salt, Carlo, and he hand harvests salt off of the coast in Big Sur. So we have a lot of really exciting collaborations yeah, with people who are yeah. local and maybe a little further away in Alaska that are doing really cool sustainable projects around the sea. And
you're building a network.
Sourcing. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
a supply chain, a network
exactly.
increases the menu, if you will, for customers like me.
And we tie in our other products that we have, like our Salt Point Seaweed. We bring it to our events and our catered things. Our chef, Nico, he'll take the seaweed and he'll turn it into a delicious seaweed salad that's served on like a toasted nori piece. And
wow.
people love it. Yeah.
No doubt. So. One of the reasons I want to talk to you too and get this 1 year checkup is I was on a long flight recently and I was reading Sever. I showed you the cover of this and it has the purple urchins on it. Can you tell me what you're doing with the purple urchins right now?
So we're working with a Michelin star rated, highly regarded restaurant in San Francisco. We're sourcing highly invasive purple urchin from
right.
Mendocino and Monterey, and they're taking that and turning it into plateware for their new restaurant.
That sounds cool.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
these are invasive. That's what I learned in the article. And how long has this been going on with the purple urchins? Because I noticed you guys have been offering a lot of those recently.
Yeah, I'll make a note and say that we offer red urchin from our urchin diver in Half Moon Bay, and that's a little different from the purple urchin because the red urchin are a lot bigger and more filled out. So they're better for culinary uses.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Which is probably what most people will be eating at restaurants and things like that.
Okay.
The purple urchin are a whole nother issue that started, I think it was about 5 or 6 years ago when we had this issue with bad tides, warming oceans. We had the starfish deterioration.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a big change in the ocean. All of the predators for the purple urchin, which would be the starfish, sea otters, other things like that, were maybe displaced a little bit. And so they were able to thrive. And their main food is the bulk kelp. So they would go around. And the way they eat the bulk kelp is they start from the base of the stalk. So once you eat the base of the stalk, the whole plant's demolished pretty much.
Right.
And so they go on the beds and they just
mow
basically
it down.
Clear cut these kelp
yeah.
forests.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we've now seen a huge decline in our abalone populations because they're basically starving. They don't have anything to eat.
Right.
Which is why there's been the closure of the commercial abalone fishery this year.
Wow.
So it's all kind of started several years ago with the starfish, and now it's moved on to the purple urchin. They've exploded in growth.
Yes.
Now they're considered invasive, mm-hmm. and that's why we're trying to start this project to find something to do with them. I mean, we've talked to urchin divers, and they say they'll go out into beds where they'd normally be lurking for the red urchin to sell commercially, and they'll just see all these purple urchins, and they said, you know, sometimes they'll take a bat and smash them or something to try and reduce the population, but that's a small contribution. And I mean, right now they've got vacuums that they're using, giant vacuums to suck them up in the ocean.
Yeah, there's
just to try to get rid of them. Yeah.
There's a state funded program to get rid of the purple urchin up at Fort Bragg. So they're taking a vacuum, getting them out of the ocean, and just destroying them. They're trying to find other markets for them, trying to turn them into light, like little light bulbs, night lights,
right.
jewelry,
whatever, whatever you can do with it, they're trying to do with it. Mm. But the actual roe inside isn't really edible. It's very bitter. It's not filled out. The restaurant we're working with to turn them into plates
mm-hmm.
is trying to come up with some genius way to use the roe.
Right.
I'm sure that they will make it delicious.
A little bit of a light there is that I learned prepping for this interview with you guys that kelp is the fastest growing organism on the planet. So,
yeah.
Yep. Bring the abalone back.
Two quick follow-ups. One is one of the value props that TryFreshCatch.com brings is the coolers. Mm-hmm. If you don't have one, you don't need one.
Yes.
You guys provide one too. How has that been going? Have you seen more usage of them or less?
Definitely more. So people have been leaving out their own coolers for us, which
right.
is great. And then we also have our own. And it's been kind of a challenge for us to keep finding new coolers and getting the right size because stores only stock different sizes.
Sure.
So we've actually found a manufacturer out of Colorado that's going to work with us to get us some branded Fresh Catch coolers that are all completely made in the USA, which was pretty major for us to find someone that could do that.
Right on.
Manufacture, do all of the screen printing in Colorado, and then have them shipped out to us. So we're hoping to have those here in the next month or two, and we'll be able to offer those to our members to leave out for an additional fee, or they can buy them,
right.
or we'll just be able to do a loan-type program. But we haven't quite figured that end out, but
nice branding.
We know they're coming.
That led me to another question. Fall is coming up, and you're going to have these things delivered hopefully by then. What is the peak season for you guys as far as delivery of sustainable seafood, and what is the low season?
So last year, I mean, our lower season was summer when most of our customers were families and they were taking off on vacations and things like that.
Right.
But as we've grown, we've kind of diversified our customer base, and we have customers from all over
mm-hmm.
that do all different kinds of things. And it's a lot of young professional couples and things like that. So it's been pretty steady for us thus far. But fishing conditions and being able to get what we want in the winter becomes pretty tough.
Right.
It's a lot of Dungeness crab, which is never really a bad thing.
No.
We'll have black cod. We'll hopefully have some good ground fish like petrale and chili pepper rockfish and
cool.
sand dabs, mm-hmm. which we're really trying to get people excited about because sand dabs are one of the most delicious ground fish out there. And
right.
they're really easy to prepare.
Totally easy to prep, yes.
They don't have any pin bones, so you just grab them by the tail. And
mm-hmm.
after it's cooked, you grab it by the tail and you pull the bones and they come right out. And
mm-hmm.
pretty cool.
Delicious yeah. meat, too.
I think we'll be adding some new fish this season, too.
Cool.
We've got our fishermen that have been catching some other varieties that they're excited to introduce
yeah, exactly.
to us. We got some English sole maybe in the future. Some
yeah,
other
we
like
were
that.
Just talking to our uh-huh. partner boat in Half Moon Bay. So the Miss Mariah in Half Moon Bay, they're a part of the California Groundfish Collective.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a group of, I think it's five or six vessels from Monterey to Fort Bragg. And they have worked with the Nature Conservancy to commit themselves to 100% sustainable, traceable fishing. So what that means is that they have cameras both below on the nets and up top on board of the boat
mm-hmm.
that monitor their fishing. And
your first boat did the same thing, right? One right here in San Francisco.
He had cameras on the nets.
On the nets.
Which was great.
And now it's above and below.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Miss Mariah is actually audited by Nature Conservancy.
Cool.
And they're checking those cameras consistently to ensure traceability and accountability. They're a great boat, and we're really stoked to work with them.
Let's end with a continuation of the growth story and what you'd like to see.
Yeah, I mean, I think
Is it just customer acquisition at this point, now that you've got your pipeline pretty efficient?
That's always a big goal. But I think beyond that, our biggest project and our goals are to have a brick-and-mortar store where we can do some really exciting projects with fish that we aren't able to do currently. And then as a part of that, we're looking into starting to do some smoked fish and some other things like that.
I hear stores are the new thing. I don't know if you agree. I think it's a trend. It all started with Steve Jobs building those cathedrals to himself, those Apple stores. And everybody's like, I want a cool store, too. Well, look, I wish you guys the best. Thank you so much for coming in and giving us the update, because we're trying to watch you guys as you grow.
Of course. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. That was Austin Klein and Jesse Ryan. They are the co-founders of Fresh Catch, a sustainable fresh fish delivery service that is expanding its footprint and growing its business. We first spoke with Fresh Catch in the summer of 2017, not long after they got their two-person company stood up. Austin and Jesse created Fresh Catch because they wanted to do something to solve what they see and actually is a crisis in not only sustainable fishing, but also the health of the oceans, period. In a phrase, they were seeking solutions. So that's teed up our next topic, solution journalism. In May 2018, Yale University published an academic paper and report titled Media Contributing to Hope Gap on Climate Change. Now, the hope gap is when problems seem larger than any possible solution. A hope gap can actually interfere with a person's ability to go through the mental problem-solving process of acknowledgement, assessment of the problem, etc. We'll come back to the hope gap a little bit later. Right now, here's a clip from the United Nations Conference on Sustainable Development Goals. The speaker is Cacao Araujo, and she is with a group called Believe Earth.
When we hear all the bad news, because the news cycles and the sci-fi and whatnot will only show that we are in danger. And then the future is going to be hard, and we have to do something about it, and we are doomed, but we are not doomed. We have these people. We have ourselves. We can do stuff, and we can do big stuff. Because if you believe the future, it can be so unbelievable. So unbelievable, and we have to start thinking and imagine, and most of all, creating this future. Because remember, we don't want the world as it is, as it was. There is much, much data that shows that now we are living the best of times. We are living longer, we are living healthier, we are with less war, but progress and the SDGs specifically are all about leaving no one behind. And we have to be restless until no one is left behind. But I invite everybody here to dream and act towards this future we want. There is a quote by this political activist in the United States called Noam Chomsky. He was in an interview, and then someone asked him, okay, with everything that's going on, how come you're still an optimist? And then he said, well, you have two choices. One is being a pessimistic, and then you don't do anything about it, and you just assure that nothing's changing. Things are going to go worse, and that's it. Or you can be an optimist. And if you're an optimist, you can do something about it. You can grab the opportunities that are around. And then you can help making the world a better place. So I have one invitation for you guys. Let's be optimistic together. Because as I said before, if we believe, the future can be so, so, so unbelievable. So let's act together. Thank you very much.
Again, that was from the United Nations Conference on Sustainable Development Goals, and it was from March of 2018. It's better to be informed rather than shy away from current events, but when the headlines seem to be more like a bombardment than information, it's nice to take a break. Recently, in a small but laudable way, Google has tried to address the hope gap with a feature for its Google Assistant. A new feature is rolling out that delivers some good news when you just ask for it. Say, hey, Google, tell me something good to your Google Assistant.
Yale scientists call this phenomenon the hope gap. It's when we're overly focused on a problem instead of the solution. It can make us stressed out, tune out, or even worse, shrink in our ability to problem solve. Okay, ready for some good news? Good news is happening every day. We just don't always hear about it.
Google is surfacing 20-second clips of what's called solution journalism, real news about real people trying to make the world a better place. Now, if only Google can find a way to Gmail users a link from those clips for follow-up information, perhaps passive attention will more likely become active. Links to everything we've discussed here will be in the show notes for this week, and they live at KGORadio.com. Coming up after the break, we look at the automobile industry with an industry analyst, investor, and the podcast host of The Flying Car. Will liquid hydrogen finally go mainstream? And how is Tesla holding up amid all those headlines? That's next. So please stick around. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.